Stay in this attitude. Stay right here, okay? He is worthy. Really. He is worthy. I don't know about the rest of you, but periodically I get a picture. I mean, I get a real glimpse of just a taste of what it's going to be like to be in His presence and be overwhelmed with all that He is. Our Jesus, our King, our Father, and the glory and the power of the Holy Spirit. Just being with Him. And I have to tell you that it brings me to my knees, to my face, causes me to, I weep a lot. Because I'm so happy that He saved me.
Yes.
By His grace.
Yeah.
And by His grace has given me, the least deserving in here. Joy and peace, supernatural power in my life, authority, righteousness, forgiveness, prosperity, health, deliverance from all the things that I was in bondage to, and there were a lot of them. He's preserved me and continually preserves me. He saved me. Righteously, royally, everyone who believes in what Jesus accomplished in His death, burial, and resurrection and has accepted that exchange in their life has everything I've got. My heart, my desire is that for each one of us, we begin to see that picture of all that He has for us right now and with Him in His presence. My heart is that we experience the glory of His presence every time we gather together. Hebrews 10:25 says, "Do not forsake, do not abandon the gathering together of yourselves as some do." And our culture says it isn't necessary. Really. Our Christian culture says it's not necessary to gather together. Really isn't. Yes, it is. That's denying the word because of all the benefits that God has for us. When we gather together and we get to glimpse the glory of God, but also in the midst, we allow the presence of God to be tangible in our midst. We allow the work of the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do. There is no reason for miracles not to happen right now, because they've already been given in every life in this place. Miracles have been given to you right now. There is not a need that has not been supplied. Not one. There is not a part of your life that has not been met or fulfilled already. And you might be thinking, well, I'm not seeing it. It's not just the wanting. It's the believing. So this is why we gather together. Because we increase in faith when we're together. We exercise the gifts of the Holy Spirit and the call that is on every single one in here to impart and do and share with the body what they have, what's been given to them, and to see the richness of what they do and impart to each other really blossom. It is important that we meet together regularly and allow Him to move the way He wants, to have His will, not ours. I don't ever want to be held to such an agenda that you can set your clock by what we do. And I'm sorry if that's what makes you comfortable. I want you to know you can get uncomfortable with that and get comfortable with allowing the presence of God to be in your midst. That is the desire of our heart. I don't know about the rest of you, but I really, and I've said this before, in my heart, I'm crying out for revival. And I'm not talking about just at House on the Rock or in this church, but I'm talking about in our lives. That the life of God and the eternal life that He's given us spring up, this living water spring up, and revival take place in our own lives, and we bring this corporately together. And I call those miracles and those manifestations of needs met in this place today. No thief, no robber, and no part of us will give room to the lack and the loss and the destruction that the enemy intends, or that we are participating in. Jesus will be Lord. And the gifts of God which are ours, we will take. And we will walk in. And we will live in. And we will see the fruits. And we will see the power of God unleashed, released, because we just believe Him. Over and above anything else. As I've been meditating on being saved, you'd think I'd be over it, right? It's been almost 40 years. I'm not over it. I have high expectations for much more in my life and our lives. And I believe that that is your heart too. God does not disappoint. His word does not disappoint. Ever. And it never fails. You can have what you believe for. That's it. That's the message for today. You can have everything you believe for. Powerful. Happening. He's trying to get through to somebody right here, right now. He's trying to get it through to you. It has been released. Don't hold back. Don't hold back. Open the door and receive it. Because it's right there. Right now. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm telling you that the power of God is mighty in here right now.
Yes. Yes.
The Lord shows me pictures a lot of times. And partly I do operate in the prophetic. But I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit is there. He's just right here, hovering. Wants to work. Would you close your eyes just for a minute? Shut everybody else out. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for glorifying Jesus right now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for working right now in every life in this place. Hallelujah. We love you. We love you, Lord. We're okay with you having your way. There is no lie, no devil in hell that can keep you from the best of what he's working right now. Somebody in here, their mind is getting clear. Like the fog is disappearing and the thinking is increasing, it's getting more clear. It's like the brain has been freed up. Somebody else in there. Spine. There's a change happening in your spine. It's like it's unlocking. There's a marriage breakthrough. The Holy Spirit is whispering to somebody. There's something you've been waiting on for a long time. He's whispering. Pay attention. He wants to get through to you. You know, all this is out of God's love, His care. And it's so much bigger. The only ones who limit and hold Him back are us. There's a restoration in a relationship right now. And God is giving you instruction on what to do on your part. And financially, there's a couple of you in here. The Lord says to you, I've already given it to you. Expect it. I believe that there's an amount that the Lord has spoken to you. And the Lord wants to go beyond the amount.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Yes, more, God. More. No, Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Be quiet. Be quiet. Be quiet. In Jesus' name, be quiet. Matt, in Jesus' name, be quiet. Hallelujah. 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 Don't be bothered. The Lord isn't. You know, He doesn't get disrupted or put off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody has been struggling with unforgiveness. Because of the pain, the Lord says to you, it's killing you. It's time to let it go. It's time to let it go and be at peace. There are more healings in here right now. And I keep hearing the Lord say, be restored. You're tired. Be restored. Be refreshed. Be renewed. Be at rest in me. I am your rest. Be at peace. You have nothing to worry about. I'm on your side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thanks for continuing to work throughout all of our meeting together today. We love you and we give today to you, commit today to you, to have your way. Every time we meet. And we're not going to ever abandon meeting together because we want everything you've got for us. And we want to be able to share and impart your kingdom to our brothers and sisters. We love you, Lord. Thanks for your presence, your word. For moving among us all the time. Help us to continue not to limit you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now I've got about 2 hours. Hope you don't mind. Be sure what you're clapping for. Got all day? You better warn the children's and nursery people. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. The title of today's message is Where Do You Put Your Butt? Where do you put your butt? B-U-T. Where do you put your butt? Because we have a tendency to put our butt in all kinds of areas it doesn't belong. And we get in trouble. Can we get an amen for that one? Amen. I want you to listen to this testimony. This is from Christy. And I want you to hear this because she put her butt in the right place. This is my testimony on my way to victory. On September 9th, I left Michigan on a flight to New York, which would require me to have a 5-hour layover between my destination, which was Israel. As I sat waiting, I heard a voice say, "Where is your insulin?" I began to check my carry-on and my backpack and realized I'd left my insulin at home. Why do you go, oh no? Usually when I forget my insulin, I panic. But this time I decided to take a stand against the enemy with scripture and faith. And I began to speak to my mind and decided I would put my trust in God's word. Romans 8:11 is what she referenced. I told my mind that I would not be sick, and the small amount which I had with me would last for the next 11 days. Can you say wow? I calculated the amount in days. I could decrease the insulin amount without my body going into shock. I would also decrease my food intake. That was a huge awakening for me. The next day, a lady in my group asked me to pray with her about something, and I told her about my situation, and I asked her to stand with me without telling the others in my group. She told me that she was an RN and would check on me each morning. I wear a glucose monitor, so she viewed my monitor each morning and advised me. The insulin lasted for the entire trip with some left over. And I was only sick one day because I chose to eat the wrong food. Throughout the entire trip, each day I would speak to my body and mind with God's word. This was a huge breakthrough for me because years ago, I believed I was healed and I stopped taking the insulin, but I ended up in the hospital for over a week. Since I have been here at Hot Rock, hearing the testimonies, attending healing school, and plus the word of God being taught from the scriptures, has helped me to throw fear away and believe God wants me well. I continue to stand without fear on His word. I don't know when my healing will completely manifest, but I know God wants me well, and I am on my way to the full victory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is normal Christianity. Any other way that we live really isn't normal. When we succumb or give in to the buts that are contrary to the Word of God. Would you turn to Luke chapter 17? Luke chapter 17. I would love to really expand on this. I will tell you that I will always have mercy on the children's and nursery workers. Okay? Parents, if by chance I or anybody else ever goes long on the pulpit, which I really don't expect, please go get your children. You're welcome to bring them back in. Okay? Okay. Luke chapter 17, I want to start with verse 11. I'm going to read this all the way through this passage. And as you listen to this, I want questions to come up in your minds and in your hearts, because they should. Now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus!" Actually, it was more like this. "Jesus! Jesus! Master, have mercy on us." Mercy in the Greek means be kind. When he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, the cleansed in this aspect, in this particular context, and in the Greek, means they were healed, they were cured. It was done. Cleansed also, going back to the Hebrew, means that they went from defiled to undefiled. Okay? Defiled meaning a type of sin. That's all it means. Defiled means unacceptable to the Lord. All right? So they went they became cleansed, cured, whole, healed. They were delivered from that destruction, that horrible virus that eats away at a body. They were preserved. They were protected. They were made a type of righteousness. You see, leprosy was the picture of God used to present to Israel and to the world how lepers were outcast. They were thrown out of the company. They were not enemies of the people, but they had to be separated from the people. And as they were separated from people, they had to cry out to everybody around them, and they were told, this is in Leviticus, cover their mouths and say, unclean, unclean! Don't get near me. They were alone, they were poor, they were rejected. They really had a hopeless, horrible life, far worse than you and I can imagine. And when these men, these 10, came to Jesus and said, please be kind to us, Master, Lord. And he said, go show yourselves to the priest. And so it was, as they went, they were cleansed. I want you to really have this picture. And one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, returned and said with a loud voice, glorified God, fell down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, a non-Jew. You can call him a Gentile. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, get up and go your way. Your faith has made you well. I want to take, I've just got a few minutes this morning. So I want to take and I want to imprint on you something that happened in here that we have such a tendency to bypass or forget about or not live in or not be cognizant of and aware of. Somebody asked me this morning if I was going to tie today's message in with the fact that we are chosen to prosper. That we were born into favor. And I said, yeah, partially. Because the crux of it all is the same. God has given, and by faith, we have it. I want to back up to verse 14. When Jesus saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. You got 10 men. At that moment, they had a choice. I mean a real choice, life and death choice. And they could have said, but I don't understand. But I don't see anything. But I thought you were going to do something different. But this is the way I've always been. But what does that mean? And on and on and on. What really happened was they heard the word. When they said Jesus, Lord and Master, they gave him the credibility that he deserved. They heard the word of God. Now Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. Now this hearing aspect that they heard, this is when, listen, I've got a choice to make, and either this is real or it isn't in my life. And we do this all the time, all of us. We make a choice whether or not the word of God is real or it isn't. And we, you know, a lot of, you know, we proclaim that we're saved by grace and we're living in grace and the grace of God has given us everything. We lack for nothing. But we make choices in our lives and so subtle that say, but I don't know. Or, but what about my circumstance? But what about this? But what about that? And we have put our butt in the midst of a place that really doesn't belong. It hurts us. Okay? So Jesus said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. They chose to hear his word, and they went to the priest, and as they went, they were cleansed, healed, undefiled. They were a type of saved. They were preserved. Their whole lives were changed. Amen. Everything. This is a type of salvation. And in this salvation, they were prospered because their lives were changed. They came into the covenant aspects of the Israel camp, so to speak, the kingdom, just like we do. This is the picture. And as they did, they were delivered from every foul destruction, everything that could take away from them. They were freed. They were a picture of being made righteous. The righteousness of God. They were, of course, healed. You think this didn't blow their mind? Absolutely. But as they went, they were cleansed. And I could go on with the rest of this, and I don't have time to expand on it. But I want you to hear what happened. Because you think, what's 10 lepers got to do with me? I mean, in reality, what does 10 lepers have to do with us? Everything. Because they were sick and hurting and hopeless, decrepit and outcast, rejected, they heard the word of God from Jesus. They had a choice to make on what they accepted and what they didn't, with or without a but. And they chose to accept the word and go to the priest. Going to a priest to get certified, verified and certified that they were healed. That was how this worked. And as they went, they were cleansed. They heard the word. They believed the word. They did the word. And they received the results. That's what this has to do with us. They did not say, I'm afraid. I can't see it yet. But maybe it doesn't work for me. They didn't rationalize or reason or question about how's this going to happen. When we do that, because we do the same thing, if we hear the word and we're trying to reason it out and rationalize and say, what if and what not and what about this and I'm not really worthy of this or I got problems here or how is this going to happen to me? I want to make this real simple. What we're doing is we are arguing with the Lord. We are arguing with his word. And we're debating with his word. And when it comes right down to it, we are contradicting what he says. We're saying, I don't really see it. It can't be. This is how doubt and unbelief come in. This is what keeps us from seeing the miraculous even more. This is what keeps the grace of God that's been poured out on us, lavished on us, from taking place. Because we have put our butt in a place that it doesn't belong. That's the reality. So, if we hear the word and we make a choice to believe the word, and then we make a step, this is called what James says, faith with works. If I have faith and something that I show or do in accordance with what God has said, because I take his word and I believe it, then I'm going to see results. So we hear the word, we have a choice to believe the word, and we have a choice to do the word. Any one of those three we can leave off or not do, and we put a but in its place. But if we do those three, we're going to see the results. Now, oh, hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3, don't go there. Genesis chapter 3, when Satan was speaking with Eve, and he was manipulating her. The master manipulator, right? A liar, a thief, disgusting, accuser of the brethren. He was manipulating Eve, and he said, this is what he said. Did God really say that? This is the same thing we go through when we hear the word. Did God really say that to me? Did he really mean that for me? Did he really give that to me? And we've put our butt in a place just like Eve did. And of course, Eve had some consequences, which Adam had some consequences, and we all have had consequences because of that. Well, there's so many times that, you know, you wonder what Adam and Eve are going to be like when we meet them in heaven, because I believe we will. And I have this picture of this concertina wired 10-foot concrete walled compound where Adam and Eve live, and everybody else is outside. No, I'm kidding. Don't take that as scripture, because it isn't. Adam and Eve didn't do anything the rest of us wouldn't have done. I believe they're going to be welcoming us in. Okay. When the enemy planted that seed, or said, did God really say? It's the same thing we do. And we do this. This is why we do this. When we debate or contradict or say, I don't know about that, or rationalize or reason out the word of God. This is why we do it. Because we believe something and hold it to a higher truth than the word. And one thing I shared this morning, we've made that an idol. Anything that we hold to a higher truth than the word of God is an idol. Amen. And anything that we hold to a higher truth than the word of God is a lie. Amen. So what we've done is we've idolized this lie in our life, and we're living our life around it, and we're paying the price. Because we can't hear the word or won't hear it, and we won't believe it, or we won't do it. Those are the things that keep us out of, like, this whole manifestation of the kingdom and the grace of God in our lives. So those lies need to be knocked down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to read this. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, if you're taking notes. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Well, what does that mean? It means we've got big armor, but it isn't the way you think. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Jesus' obedience to the will of the Father accomplished everything for us. Those arguments, those lofty things, those high things, those strongholds are the lies that we believe. Instead of saying, okay, Lord, I've heard your word. I'm going to believe it. Amen. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to see the results. That's it. What tears those strongholds down is first recognizing them and then saying, I'm going to exchange the truth for that lie. That is a lie that I have believed and lived my life around. And that is no longer going to be Lord or an idol in my life, because it's not true.
but I'm going to replace it with the truth. Just like Jesus exchanged his life for us, I'm going to replace the truth of what he says for that lie. And I'm going to see the results, because I'm going to hear the word, I'm going to believe the word, I'm going to do the word, and I'm going to see the results. No more debating, no more contradicting, no more arguing. I want to explain, when we apply a work to our faith, an effort, a movement, a something that says, I believe you, I'm not going to just sit on my butt, God, I don't know, I'm going to do something. Our works of faith, they're not to demonstrate to God that we believe or to be a testimony to other people. You know why we do works of faith? They show us that we believe. They're a demonstration to us that we believe. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. They cement and reinforce the truth of the word in our lives. Those works of faith, they show us that we believe the word. All right, here's the crux. I've got 3 minutes. Here's the crux. Here's my main point. Okay? Faith is a law. Romans 3:27 speaks about the law of faith. Now, as we all know, a law works for you. If you work within the law, you see great benefits, right? Right?
Yes.
If you work outside of the law, things don't really work. Can I make it that simple? Faith is a law. It's a law that is in our lives, and God has set this law up to say, if you just believe me, if you hear my word and believe my word and do my word, you will see the results. That's the law of faith. Yes. Now, it's not, here's where we get all goofed up. It's not how much faith we can manifest. It's not how much faith that we can work up. It's not how much I'm going to be trained in faith. I'm going to be strong in faith. It's this simple. I want to show you. Number one, Romans 12 verse 3 says, God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Okay, what does that really mean? When I got born again, and I became a new creation with a new identity and a son of God, and I got all these benefits that are supplied by grace, and it's, I mean, like everything. And I'm having such a hard time getting it, because Romans 12, 3 says, I'm trying to operate in the law of faith. I've been given this measure of faith. Well, what does that really mean? What do I do with this? Do I do anything with it? What does it mean in my life? I don't know about you, but I have these questions. How do I make this work? Because it's supposed to be a benefit, right? It's supposed to be. I've got the measure of faith. This is how it works. Galatians 2 verse 20. For lack of time, I'm going to read it to you. Galatians 2 verse 20. I'm going to read this out of the King James. Pardon me if my tongue gets a little blah, 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 because of King Jameth. Paul writes, for all of us, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I live this life now by his faith. Now, I struggled with this for a long time. It's been 2 or 3 years ago I began to get the understanding after studying it out. I live by faith, the faith of the Son of God. And yet, my Bible, my New King James, and so many other Bibles say, I live by faith in the Son of God. Can I tell you how this works? You ever wondered? It's my faith in what his faith accomplished for me. That's it. It's my faith in what his faith accomplished for me. Do I believe that Jesus did what he said he did for me? Do I believe it? Do I believe it? I don't have to believe anything else. Do I believe that Jesus did what he said for me? It is my faith in what his faith accomplished. I don't have to accomplish anything. He did it. Amen. It's my faith that he did it. That's all. It makes it so much easier. Amen. There's no place for your butt in here. In reality. Thank you, Lord. I may or may not immediately see a manifestation. And for those of you that know me, I've seen a lot of them. But I may or may not see immediately a manifestation of the word of promise. But I already believe that God has given me right now everything that he has promised me, and everything that he has done, and all that he said he would do for me. I believe right now that I believe that he did for me and accomplished by his faith everything. Everything for me. All my healing, all my deliverance, all my prosperity, all my preservation, all my righteousness, all my joy, all my peace. I don't have to live less than. I don't have to unless I put my butt in the mix. The same for you. 2 Peter 1 verse 4, and I'll wrap with this. By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, by faith in what his faith accomplished for you. You're new. You're brand new. You've been new. Since you've been born again, you've been born into every promise of God by his faith for you. That is the measure of faith. Every one of us that has Jesus has the measure of faith, his measure of faith, and what he accomplished. How do you do this? When you read the word, be conscious of where you put your butt. You're either going to be disagreeing and contradicting and debating and arguing and rationalizing with the word. And the law of faith can't work. Or you're going to say, but I agree with you. I might not understand. I might not see it. But just like you said to the 10 lepers, go and show yourselves to the priest without a but. Hear the word, believe the word, and do the word. One thing I want to read. Can I read one thing? I have something in my notes. I guess I don't have it in there. But I will share this with you. Faith is not an act of will. I mean, our will is involved. But it's not strictly that I will believe. Faith is a choice. But what happens is, as we continue to have relationship with the Lord. You've got to be in the Word and you've got to get to know Him. As we have relationship, we move over from where we put our butts in the wrong place to, but I believe you. I know you. I know your character. I understand your faith. I understand what you accomplished. And it goes from head knowledge to where the heart can believe through relationship. Then you see things happen. Now this, I'm not excluding the miraculous. People who don't know anything. But I'm talking about living in faith regularly. It needs to be practiced without your butt. Stand up, please. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Christy, thank you for that testimony. That was awesome. Prayer team, come on up. Let's pray in faith, can we? Don't be afraid to take the big steps the Lord's called you to. You don't have to. Ever. There's a lot of stuff that can be scary as we step out in faith, but only as much as we give the okay. We give it room in our lives to operate. We give room to those lies. We don't have to do that anymore. Amen? Amen. Say this with me. Father God, in Jesus' name, I reject the lies that have been in my mind and in my heart from being in my life and dictating to me how I live. I will right now honor your word, live your word, believe your word, do your word, and see the results of the law of faith and the measure of faith in my life from now on, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. If you need prayer today, come on up. He'll get you healed, delivered, prospered, whatever it is you got to have or a breakthrough in your life. You can count on it. They hear from God. You're dismissed. Have a great week, everybody.